Hello, everyone, and welcome to Actually Comics for Wednesday, August 14th.
Good catch.
Yeah. Nobody even noticed.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is the comic books that are going to be released.
There's as usual, a lot of them.
There's, as usual, a lot of them.
I read four and skimmed a lot.
Yep. But there's some good stuff. Yep. Some stuff that I was really excited about.
Yeah.
I'm just going to start with what's on top, which is completely irrelevant.
Oh, you know what? We should get this. You take from the top, and sure. I'm going to just really quickly crinkle this bag because
nice.
It's going to be really loud, and I forgot to do that first.
Perfect.
This bag, now it's gone. We
Excellent.
Don't have to listen to it anymore.
Well, here is Captain Marvel number 9. Captain Marvel is an ongoing mystery about what kind of weird disease she has and some other weird stuff that's going on with her powers and other things. Hmm. And it's interesting. I wasn't really into this in the first arc, and this is getting really cool.
Oh, yeah.
So
I
actually care about it.
Pretty straightforward. Kelly Thompson
yep.
writing it. Good stuff.
Good stuff.
You want to talk about this?
Okay, well then, fine. Let's talk about one of the big ones.
I mean, we could talk about Batman and the Outsiders number 4 if you want.
Sure, let's talk about the good one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right. Once in Future number 1, Kieran Gillen, Dan Mora, Tamara Bonvillain.
Bonvillain.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I really
like it. Ridiculously good book.
It's so cool because, and I wanted to mention, so we talk a lot about how loud the cats are, but
yes.
When we're done talking about that, we talk about. The world building kind of stuff that goes on in a lot of these comics and how it can be a lot to take in. Well, Once in Future is there's some world building, but it's also kind of Arthurian in its mythology, so it feels familiar but is still a brand new world. There's some great characters in this book. Basically, like, some, I don't know. I mean,
sorry for making you riff. I just had to go take care of cat
like,
noises.
Can I make it sound like I'm talking to you? So basically, someone there's like a bunch of like Brexity kind of jerk faces, and they like end up finding where Excalibur is, and then there's this guy and his grandma who is a complete badass and awesome,
amazing, really really cool character.
I'm sorry, I don't remember the names of the character, but the grandma is
she's just
badass.
Going by Graham, I believe.
Graham, yeah. Well, Graham is like, there's a thing where she's like, I used to hunt vampires, and he's like, you used to hunt vampires, and she's like, yeah, then I ran out of vampires. She like killed them all. That was pretty cool.
It was a
really fun from Boom Studios number 1.
Yeah.
Once in Future is I was into it.
Crazy good book.
Yeah, real good. Real good.
Yep. Batman and the Outsiders.
Yeah, that came out.
Number 4. There's some outsiders.
Yes.
Plus one Batman.
They exist outside of the realm of the year of the villain.
So here we have Age of Conan, Valeria.
Yes. Age of Conan.
This is another Conan tie-in, but with a nice young Conan.
Yeah, I don't know that it has. It's an ancillary Conan character.
I don't know if
Conan's even in this.
Oh, that's not Conan.
It might be Conan.
But I'm just flipping through it.
It's either a young Conan or possibly just some other dark-haired person who looks similar to how Conan.
He's got a great butt. Either way,
it is one for the record books.
Yes.
I'm gonna just really briefly talk about Gogor number 4 because I love Gogor by Ken Garing from Image.
Yeah. Yes.
Love this book. Love this book. I just love it. It's great. I don't know what to say about it. If this is your first podcast and you haven't heard me talk about the previous 3 issues of Gogor, it's a kid and his like swamp moss man friend and a whole cast of characters of like various kind of anthropomorphic people who live on floating rocks and have adventures, and it's just wonderful. It's a wonderful book. I love it. It's beautifully written and illustrated, and I don't know, just like Gogor.
And that is all.
It's one of my favorites.
Excellent. Flash 76.
Yeah.
Captain Cold.
There are a lot of Flashes now, is all I can say. There's so many Flashes that I can't remember their names.
And it's got tar pit in it.
It has tar pig in it. It has tar pit and
and girder.
There's a joke no one will get. It has a lot of villains because it is the year of the villain, in fact, as DC reminds us on the cover of every comic book.
Huh. So there's something going on that I might need clarification on.
Mm, sure.
For what's happening in Marvel.
Oh,
so the
I'm not sure. I'll
so
be.
Something comes up. I believe Hickman redefines the word phalanx in the new in the new issue of X-Men.
Is
that correct?
I noticed that the phalanx.
It's no longer a race. It is anything that is of a hive mind of a certain size.
Oh.
So there are multiple phalanxes. I'm not 100% sure.
That's cool.
That's what it looked like in the little thing at the end.
Yeah.
And if that is the case, what was that figure? What is the figure with the head? It looks like Eternity, but it's not Eternity because it was from that Guardians of the Galaxy series that I didn't read.
I think it just is a celestial being, and it's a phalanx. I took it to be... So we're talking about Powers of 10, number 2, which is the latest in the Hickman X-Men, which at this point, like, I can't remember the last time that I read, like, a single issue of a comic, like, 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
I'm on first reading on this, so I'm not really sure. Maybe I'd have a little bit more information by next week after I've done my, like, actual homework. It sounds unfun. It's actually wicked fun.
Yeah. This book is good.
Yeah, the phalanx shows up. They do have kind of a new look,
God damn it. I wish I could remember what that fucking thing was called. It was called the Black Something or Other. And it was a Guardians of the Galaxy miniseries. I'm sure there's just seven
You're
people.
Talking about the Black Order,
which is
the villains from the Thanos.
No.
But that's what they are. That's a group of them. They're
okay,
called the
maybe
Black
it is
Order.
That.
And they're the villains of Avengers movies. But this is the phalanx, and I think they just have Galactus ears now.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I honestly, the end of this is very...
The Black Vortex.
The Vortex. Okay, that's different. The Black Order is the villains, but the Black Vortex was the... It was some kind of thing that, like, when you went inside it, you came out and you were, like, the ultimate version of yourself, but also, like, dark.
Yeah, but it had that same weird head thing.
Oh,
maybe
it
was just Eternity. Hmm. You know what? I could be massively confused on all fronts.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, I would say it could be none. It could be all.
Perfect.
It's
good enough.
I didn't get a clear... the end of Powers of 10 is very texty. It's very, like, you gotta... Like, so even though I read the comic and got the meat of the, like, narrative, I didn't really get into the, like, subtext stuff, of which is pretty heavy.
It is chock-a-block with amazing stuff.
Chock-a-block, you say.
Chock-a-block, I say. Okay, so Doctor Strange, number 17. Looks like they're starting to pull together some more interesting things. Again, Eternity shows up in this.
Man, he's
so
just
it's just like
rounds.
It feels like he's everywhere. And also, I feel like they're trying to prep people for the fact that Eternity is going to be a player in this new Doctor Strange movie. Because also Shuma Garoth shows up in this.
Yeah, nice.
Who like has not shown up in a long time. And
yeah, it's the multiverse of madness is the film.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And so definitely there's a lot of speculation that Shuma Garoth is because it's going to be a fake Lovecraftian cosmic horror thing.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. So their fake Lovecraft stuff centers around Shuma Garoth. So.
I just really hope like actual Galactus is the villain of the next Avengers movie.
Ooh.
Like I want actual like purple suit Galactus. I want no like space cloud from the Fantastic Four Silver Surfer movie, which
yes,
could have been so cool.
No, it couldn't have. There's nothing that you could have done to save that terrible movie.
You could have made it cool.
I suppose you could have made it good.
You could have just like written a story that made sense and hired someone who could act.
True.
Anywho.
So, guess what? Asad Rebic has a Conan book.
All
to himself.
Almost entirely wordless.
Yes, and stabby.
But not actionless.
But not at all actionless. It's great.
It's a very beautiful Conan book.
Yep. If you like Asad Rebic, you're going to love this book.
Yeah. It's
Conan. All him all the time.
It's the story of Conan leaving Samaria and making his way to the Hyboria lands.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's a specific, apparently untold story, although I have a hard time believing it's never been told.
I have a hard time believing there are any untold stories.
Especially, it's like, you know, at least Mignola, when he did the Hellboy thing, like opened it up. So there's like literally like six decades of like untold stories you could tell.
Well, you know what? You know what's great?
Actually, that
Catwoman number 14 has one of my favorite DC characters in it.
Yeah, it does. Who is it, though?
Gentleman Ghost shows up in this book.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Holy shit.
I really liked this issue of Catwoman.
Yeah, it's great.
I feel bad that I'm not trying to short shrift the previous creative team. I don't know if this is a fill-in, but I liked the story and art of this issue of Catwoman.
It's great. And I mean, obviously, Joelle Jones is no slouch.
Yeah, no, so she's awesome.
Obviously, nothing against her, but this one's really fun.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a great little story, kind of a little narrative hook of, like, you know, Pulp Fiction-iness, where, like, oh, here's where we are, now you find out how we got there, kind of thing. But the art, who was the art? So it's Ram V is the writer, and the artist is... Mirka Andolfo, is that right? Did I get that right?
You got me.
Yeah, Mirka Andolfo. And then some other people. But it was cool. I still don't understand why Catwoman cut the armpits out of her costume. But other than that.
Breathability.
Hey, yeah. I mean, but, you know.
So, in the world of absolute carnage.
Oh, maybe you can't stretch your arms if you have leather. Maybe it was like a realism
thing. Could be.
Like, if she didn't have pits, she could move has a greater range of motion.
Definitely true.
I would think. Leather's not known for its stretchability.
I would have gone for breathable panels, personally. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
if you're trying to keep it all black.
Yeah, yeah. Well, or like Spider-Man had, you know, get the Spider-Man webs from underneath his arms and just kind of make armpits.
They're delightful.
Out of it. Yeah.
Okay, Absolute Carnage. Sorry. Scream number one.
Yes.
Cullen Bunn. Sandoval.
Sandoval.
Yeah, this is exactly what you were thinking it is. It's a 90s symbiote story.
Yeah.
Same as the other one that's coming out with Absolute Carnage this week, which is Separation Anxiety. Also,
oh, that was they're new? Two. Yeah. I thought that was a reprint.
No, that's
I didn't even pick it up.
That's a new one called Separation Anxiety.
Oh, shoot.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. I thought it was a reprint.
Yeah, it's fine. I didn't read it. I read Scream, and I actually really enjoyed it, even though it was very... It's a bit by the numbers, but it's...
It's an updated, though. Like, tying it into the whole... I mean, I actually kind of decided that I'm only going to read Absolute Carnage because I really liked the first issue of Absolute Carnage, and I don't want to, like, get it muddied down. I might read this Avengers comic because the Thing is in it.
Yes.
Although we should talk about the Thing because, man, did he have a week. He had a hell of a week.
It was rough times for...
It's a rough week for Ben Grimm. We're going to talk about Fantastic Four number 13.
The second part of the Hulk Thing fight.
Yeah.
And it is...
And the first Immortal Hulk Thing fight. But the Immortal Hulk is being controlled by the Puppet Master.
Yep.
Which would be a spoiler, except for it was in the last issue, so... the Thing gets the shit beat out of him.
Like, and we were talking about this earlier, where it's just like super, brutal. It's really gross when the Thing gets beaten up. Like when the rocks crack and there's like blood and viscera underneath. Like when you start seeing like whatever passes for musculature or whatever the hell is underneath, it's gross.
Yeah.
And you get a lot of that. It's a very Immortal Hulk version of the Thing Hulk fight, like right down to just how gross it is.
Yeah, like there's like a double page panel that's just like so rough.
Yeah, yeah. So he gets nearly beaten to death at least, but at least once.
I mean, ultimately, it's kind of like that story. Like the I think going back to like the Lee Kirby run, there's like a Thing story where he just refuses to, like, you know, it's like that's like that classic quintessential Marvel story where like Spider-Man's trapped under the machine and he can't, and it's like, but he's got that thing that like gets him and
right.
And there's been a fair amount of Thing stories where he, you know, he's not the strongest one, but he's got the most.
Right. Exactly.
Know? And this is in the line of those, and but it just really kind of ups the.
It does.
The Grodo factor.
But that's something I love about Marvel is that's one of their underlying themes all the time is this, like, and it extends to that thing I was talking about with the Punisher and Venom last week or a couple weeks ago, where it's like, if you're insane enough, you're invincible in the Marvel universe.
Yeah, that's true.
It, like, your heroes also are just like, they are stronger than they are because of how they feel and their passion and their, you know,
yeah.
Because they're righteous, they have that righteous ability, and it gives them strength. But also, insanity gives you that kind of strength.
Yeah,
and if you're the Punisher, it doesn't fucking matter. You can kill anybody because you're the Punisher.
Yeah.
Because you've just gone that crazy.
But maybe there is some kind of underlying, like, force in the Marvel Universe that empowers, like, self-determination.
I think there is.
I think as we should pitch this.
I think that's the thing that you can't pitch because I think it would undermine the entire.
Yeah, true. They'd be like yeah.
That would be the midichlorians of the Marvel Universe.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. Sick. Midichlorians, that's when Star Wars got good.
It is. They decided to call,
like,
Darth Vader Annie.
How does Jedi work?
Finally.
How does Force work? It turns out it's little particles.
Yep. So we've got Usagi Yojimbo number 3.
Number 3.
I don't know. It's IDW, so I'm thinking that maybe it came out last week and we're just getting the other covers this week. I can't remember.
I feel like we talked about a Usagi issue recently, but that said, it's a Usagi issue. If you didn't get it the previous week, check it out. Make sure you didn't get. Make sure you got the new one.
Yeah, yeah. Do that.
Make sure you get it. There's copies. Unearth.
Also, right now, just in the middle of the podcast, instead of right at the end, I just want to say, hey, I do a lot of work on this dumb thing where I write all the stuff and do a newsletter. So subscribe to our dumb newsletter, so that I'm not wasting my time.
I actually want.
It has links to all of the things, and you can just click on them, and they go right to the website, and you can buy them off the website. Tons of time that I put into that, and I don't know where. Just go to our page and sign up for our thing.
Well, how do you do that?
I'll make a little link on the website.
Okay, a link on the website.
I'll put it on our Instagram too.
Nice. Unbeatable Squirrel Girl number 47. We're closing down to the end. You don't want to mess with the Squirrel Scouts. Get it, Squirrel Scouts. It's good.
I don't get it.
I like Squirrel Girl. It's great. If you're not reading Squirrel Girl at this point, there's like 100 issues you missed. You
get on it, you dingus. Yeah, but I mean, you can also just kind of pick up any issue of Squirrel Girl and it's enjoyable.
Pretty much.
Like, you really don't need to follow the story.
Yeah, sometimes you need the previous issue.
Yeah, but usually it's just fun.
Just get trades. That's what my wife did.
Yeah, the trades are perfect.
She bought the trades.
Nice. Unearth number 2, Cullen Bunn. Kyle Strom, Baldamar Rivas, I don't know who that is, and some robot named Crank ! Who I assume did lettering.
He's actually hand cranking.
He's hand cranking the letter device. Yeah, man, what a great book! It's fun. It's very The Thing. You know, I mean, that's.
It's funny, you know, Cullen Bunn, I always want to be like, it's a new Cullen Bunn, like, support Cullen Bunn. And then I realized that Cullen Bunn writes, like,
There's
comics.
Four
that, like,
fucking books a week.
I mean, by Cullen Bunn, he's great, he's awesome, but I feel like it's like we're treating him like he needs, like, help. It's, I think the guy's, like, doing pretty fucking good.
Yeah, if he makes, like, 45 cents for every new comic he puts out, he's a millionaire. So he's doing fine.
Cullen Bunn, millionaire. Silver Surfer Black.
Silver Surfer Black.
Silver Surfer Black number 3.
I want to look at this.
It
I haven't even
trippy
opened it up.
Hell.
Oh my god.
I gotta say, you know, honestly, like, I think killing off Shalabal was the worst mistake 90s Marvel made. Maybe they'll rectify that at some point. It is comics, they can do that, but it was really nice to see Silver Surfer remembering that he his whole reason for doing everything that he's ever done was because he was in love with Shalabal.
Yes.
You know,
oh my god.
Very easy to remember to forget that. And I think that's part of, like, the source of why the Silver Surfer is compelling, and this is just cosmic trip, like trippy comic. Loved it. Didn't really, like, read it word for word because this is one that you know, but he's in the black hole. He is kind of sort of fighting the symbiote god, and this, so in a way this kind of tangentially ties into Absolute Carnage, so in a way it's the only Absolute Carnage crossover tie-in issue that I'll read. But Silver Surfer is becoming infected. In the previous issue it was only his hand, and now it goes all the way up to his shoulder. What's gonna happen next? I have a feeling torso. I'm calling it.
torso. All right.
we'll see with number four.
So Loki number two is out. Mm-hmm. And we can kind of see the direction that they're going in with this. They're trying to turn Loki into David Bowie.
Yes.
Which is adorable and whatever. It's fun.
Yeah, no, Loki's cool. Hawkman number 15 is out, and I have a bone to pick with writers who think that they can write British people in any form, but let's talk about comics because that's what this is about. The Shade from 80 years worth of DC Comics. He's been around since the Golden Age. He's in this. If you read the James Robinson Starman series, you know what the characterization of the Shade is like, and you know I hate when people write British characters and they just like put like whatever slang in there that they think is British, like oi or git or like whatever, and it's like, I'm sorry, like that's bad characterization. That said, this Hawkman issue was notable for me for one specific reason, which is last week I kind of rediscovered this like run of Marvel Star Wars comics that I liked when I was a kid.
Yes.
That were drawn by Ron Frenz and inked by Tom Palmer.
Okay.
Also, Tom Palmer was inker of an Avengers run that I really liked. Tom Palmer inked this issue of Hawkman.
Weird.
And I thought it was cool to see that he's still got game.
Huh. Cool.
Go Tom Palmer.
Yeah. Awesome.
You're a favorite of mine. And I'm glad to see that I wish you were inking something better than this Hawkman issue. But at the same time, it has Shadow Thief and Hawkman and stuff like that.
And Shade.
Shade, yes.
Gwenpool.
Who says git now.
Gwenpool Strikes Back.
I loved this. Love Gwenpool.
Yeah, this is...
Why do I love Gwenpool? Okay. It's not even... Honestly, the comic is not really that great.
This is... okay.
It's...
Go. Ever since... who is it? Somebody I was following on Twitter, who I respect greatly, was like talking about what are my favorite runs of comics, and Gwenpool was one of his five favorite runs of comics.
Nice.
And I mean, this is a guy who's been in the industry for a very long time. He was not associated with Gwenpool. And I was like, God damn it, I think he's right. I think I might have just been bitter about how stupid the idea was without realizing that the reason that it's stupid is because stupid is what makes it funny.
It's I like Gwenpool in that it is like a completely organic, like someone drew this thing and it's a great design. Like it's just it's a fun, like Deadpool-y kind of spin-off design. It was intended to be like what if Gwen Stacy was Deadpool? Like, but then they've like created this whole thing of like, this issue is a little heavy with the meta, like I'm in and out, but it's like, it's also got that like that soft spot, that Ambush Bug soft spot that does. I have. Like, I love that character that knows it's in a comic, you know, and this is like, it's Gwenpool. She's robbing a bank and fighting Spider-Man, but it's like, it's not really.
Yes, but not really.
But the art was really good. And I don't know. I just really liked it. I like Gwenpool, and I support the idea of Gwenpool in comics.
Sonata number three.
I didn't understand it because I thought it was number one, and when I read it, I was like, "Why doesn't this make sense?" And then I realized it was number two. So
it's
it's number three.
It's number three.
So
the first two of them were just basically like some sort of steampunk aircraft kind of craziness.
Yeah.
And then this one is like, well, once we started getting introduced to the monsters in number two, I started getting on board. Oh. And then by this one, it's chock full of crazy monsters, and it just gets better. So
cool.
It's weird. It's one of those things where it didn't have a strong first issue for me. And it's tough for me to get on board with something without a real like kick in the balls first issue. And this one is actually growing on me.
Nice.
So
Well, it's David Hein, who is one of the better, like, kind of like weird writers, I think, out
yes.
there, that like really kind of pushes things into like a, he did that weird Subway one that I feel like never just like stopped coming out.
The Red Line?
Yeah, The Red Line. What happened yeah. with that? Does it not come out?
No, it came out. It's just it keeps selling out, and they're not doing second printings.
Oh.
They did second printings of the first one.
Because I liked that.
And then we didn't get second printings of the second one. We just kept selling out like day one.
Huh.
Like, it just, we weren't prepared for a really good Dark Horse book, but when the trade comes out,
nice.
I'm going to order the fuck out of it, because that book has been great.
Cool. Yeah, I liked the first issue, but that's the only one I remember. Can we talk about Second Coming number two?
Please.
Second Coming number two. Mark Russell.
Closing in on my favorite book of the week.
Yeah, I specifically didn't read it because it's Mark Russell. He's my favorite current writer, and I know this is awesome, and it doesn't matter. I flipped through it. I saw that it had really cool art. I read the first like 2-3 pages. I laughed immediately at
yep.
some amazing joke, and that reminds me, I forgot to look for that comic he did last week, that Sinestro comic that we didn't talk about.
Oh yeah,
he totally wrote.
What?
Yeah, apparently it's really good too.
We sold zero copies of that book.
Yeah.
I have a stack of those fucking things sitting there.
Apparently,
that
you
nobody
should,
bought.
Well, apparently, it's like amazing.
God,
like
damn
it was like top reviewed comic, like one of the top reviewed comics of last week.
Of course,
week.
It was.
And I was like, and I forgot to look for it today. I also forgot to look and see if that Liefeld, you had that variant.
Oh yeah, I do.
Oh nice,
I do. I have it on our website. It's in our web stock.
Oh, okay, cool.
Okay. There's Sonata. Okay, Amazing Spider-Man number 27.
Part two of this current storyline with the new Sinister Six.
Yep. Fun. Silly. Whatever.
It's great. Fun. It has great art.
Yep. Friendly Neighborhood number 10.
Is also fun.
Also fun.
I mean, I don't know how fun it is. It was good. It's Tom Taylor.
It's so weird. So I was talking to Chad, and he is our resident Spider-Man obsessive fan. And he was saying he does not like Friendly Neighborhood. It blew my fucking mind. It's my favorite, like, by far.
Huh.
It's, like, my favorite Spider-Man book currently.
I don't love the art in it.
It's so weird. I fucking thought that the art was great in this issue.
Yeah, I don't know.
This
I just,
is...
I, consistently, since it came out, I haven't loved
really?
It.
Really? Come on.
I'm not really into it.
Wow.
Sorry.
All right.
I don't know. I like Tom Taylor. Like, he's great. I'm sure it's
me
great.
Too.
I don't love the art.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. I have loved this since the beginning, and it has been selling very well.
Yeah.
Okay. Either way, Detective 1009.
Yes. Which has Mr. Freeze on the cover, but don't be fooled, because the entire thing is about Deadshot. The Mr. Freeze is on this, like, the last two pages, because of this whole year of the villain thing. Like, I don't know. I mean, I don't get it. It's the actual story was somewhat interesting. It was like Deadshot gets hired to take out Bruce Wayne. He gets on a plane. Bruce Wayne's on a plane. Wayne on a plane. And
the Waynes on planes are mainly
on their
in
way
Spain,
to Spain.
Yes.
So then like bad stuff happens and they crash. And it's going to be like a jungle adventure with Deadshot and Bruce Wayne, but not Batman.
Hmm. There you go.
Sorry, I just gave away the entire
comic. You just ruined the whole comic.
Literally spoiled the entire
and
comic.
And I'm about to spoil The White Trees for
that
everyone.
There was too much new world stuff for me. It's Chip Zdarsky and Chris Anka, so it's a super quality comic, super quality creators. I just, like, I don't. Like, I hate to say something this cheesy, but, like, I don't have the bandwidth for this much new information, like, just today. Like, I just don't today.
Well, what,
like,
I will
say... If I read it tomorrow, maybe I'd be super
is this
it.
Has the most hand jobs per comic of any comic I read this week.
Wow. So does it have more than one?
Three.
Three hand jobs?
Yes.
In a comic.
Three hand jobs.
Wow.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 panels of full frontal male nudity.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 hand jobs.
No, it should have been 7 hand jobs. That would have been good too. But lots of full frontal and big weird fantasy monsters with their wing wongs out.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't really like. I just like I started reading it and I was just like, okay, new character, new character, new character, and I was just like, I just didn't have it today. I'm sorry.
Cool. Whatever.
I like all those guys.
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman.
76.
Notable because the illustrator from Skyward, which has recently ended,
oh, nice.
Lee Garbett, is drawing Wonder Woman now and is an amazing artist.
Cool. Sword Daughter, still coming out.
It's out. It's out. Sword Daughter, the newest.
Number 8.
Number 8. That's Brian Wood and Mac Chatter.
Mac Chatter.
A Mac Chatter. And Miles Morhamis. Miles Meowis. What is it?
What's the new one?
Meowls Morales. What do they call him now? No, Miles Morales, the new from Saladin Ahmed and Javier Garon. Amazing. It's nice to have a book that isn't just him being tortured for an entire
Jesus,
issue.
Jesus, no shit.
And also now his there's like a little Spider-Verse-y kind of thing that was previously not continuity, but is now sneakily
I swear to God,
continuity.
I think it was continuity.
No.
I swear
I mean,
to God.
I mean, unless it was in the Ultimate Universe.
I think it was.
It was. Okay. I mean, I could buy that.
Maybe I'm crazy.
I didn't read a lot of the Ultimate stuff.
Okay.
But I don't want to say what it is because
okay.
it's a spoiler.
Yes, we don't want to spoil it. I do want to say, though, that Silver Surfer Prodigal Son. So this is that Prodigal Son miniseries, and they're doing that Marvel thing where they just are like, everything's a one-shot, but everything ties together, and we're not going to tell you what order it's in because we're dicks. This was a really good issue. This was actually very fun.
Peter David wrote it, right?
Yeah, it's stupid. I'm actually now excited to read the next issue about Prodigal Son. I was not sold on the Fantastic Four one. It was fun. It was okay. But it didn't make me care about that character, this new Prodigal Son character.
Oh.
But now I'm actually kind of interested.
There you go. I like the cover, the variant cover by Ron Garney, classic Silver Surfer artist Ron Garney.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, I'm going to talk about
please.
Rumble number 15, which wraps the current arc from John Arcudi, who is an amazing writer, and David Rubin, who is an amazing illustrator. My favorite death scene that I've seen in recent memory is definitely, it is visually stunning, absolutely cool, super comic that I love. Rumble. Get it in trade, because there's not a lot of issues on the stands.
Okay, so this is a book that is clearly directed directly at me.
Yes, it is.
And everyone else is not going to buy it, and so fuck all of you.
It's aimed at me in one way that I'll mention after you.
Okay, Punisher Kill Crew. It's a continuation of that crazy story where the Punisher is wandering around, mopping up after all of the crazy Asgardian events of War of Realms. There's like just all sorts of undead things. He's wearing the big fucking death clock helmet. He's got like, he's amazing. I just really dig it. And I thought the art in this was spectacular.
Yeah, no, it was really good. I thought it was a really fun over the top thing, which seems to be Jerry Duggan's kind of deal.
Yeah.
But so remember when War of the Realms was coming out and I was really upset that Spider-Man never wore that stupid hat?
Yeah.
They have him on the cover wearing the hat and I was like, I love this hat. So then they gave the Punisher like a dumb hat to wear, but he wears the hat.
He sure
and
does.
I say, like, and that, kudos. Give the Punisher that hat, but also please keep the hat on him. Also, that goat is in it.
Yes.
And I love that Thor goat.
Yep.
And it has a very, very strong role in the Punisher Kill Crew. In fact, I think the goat is part of the crew.
I think so.
Especially based on the, you have to flip the page to the next page. Yeah. But like the title of the next one.
Oh my God. Oh, fuck you. This is the greatest comic. God damn it. Everybody buy Punisher Kill Crew. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
I can't wait for the next issue.
Yeah, it's definitely pretty metal. And,
oh, my God. I want to tattoo that on my face.
The title of the next one alone is just like For the Record Books. It's
yeah,
a good one.
Good stuff.
So let's talk about Event Leviathan number 3.
Sure.
Probably one of the bigger books of the week that we, for some reason, I think I got to work on how I'm putting these together because we're getting to all
we
the,
just
like,
put a big pile of whatever
I just literally pop it on the table, but Event Leviathan number 3 is Bendis's mystery thriller, 6-issue mystery thriller, and in the last issue we were told that everybody thinks that the Red Hood is the Leviathan, and possibly that's the case, but also possibly probably not. also, I just noticed this thing about the cover where there's like all this text that's like redacted.
Yes.
Has that been in every issue?
I don't know, but I bet it's going to play into something.
Yeah, I think that whatever is there.
I don't think it was called Event Leviathan originally.
No, I don't. Why would you name it Event Leviathan? I've said this since before it was a series that was published. Like, makes no sense. There's something to it. There is something to why it's called Event Leviathan, and I think Bendis is a smart cookie.
Yeah, no, I have not enjoyed a DC Universe like combination of these characters in a very long time. Like, this is,
I love the
it's reminding me of the old, like, any of those big ones, like oh my god, any of the non-crisis ones. The Sue Dibney one. What was that called?
That was called Identity Crisis.
Identity, yes. Identity Crisis. It reminds me of that. Like the characterizations and everything. Well, they're just really good.
Yeah, it's a cool mystery that, like, there's just, I really, Lois Lane is really like getting a chance to super shine in this, and there's like this really cool sequence.
It's still her dad. Leviathan is her dad.
I've actually thought it was her dad for the beginning, but I feel like it's too obvious.
It's her dad.
I feel like it's going to be some weird, like, has-been. I feel like it's going to be, like, you know, like, the equivalent of,
that
like,
would
when,
make sense.
When, like, Clue Master went from being, like, a yutz to, like, being a, like, super
It'll be
badass.
The eraser.
Yeah, yeah, something weird. But
in this one, but I think at least he's going to be the big red herring, where he's going to look like Leviathan for at least a full issue. They're definitely pointing towards him as being a fairly important character.
I just feel like he's too youthful in how he's being presented for him to be Lois Lane's dad. I feel like he's got kind of like a not like a old person vibe.
That's just how young Lois Lane is.
Lois Lane has some fantastic dialogue in this.
She does.
And also Red Hood, indeed, also does. I'm also going to mention Batman Universe number 2 by Bendis and Nick Darrington. So this is the chapter 3 and 4 of the Walmart 100-page Batman comics. So good. Like, so good. Like, there's a 2-page panel in here of...
Oh, that's amazing.
Batman just like narrating his way through a like family circus style, like, you know, like you find like where he's going on his path.
It is like, kind of like that.
It's fucking, Nick Darrington is amazing. I am so happy. Like, I hope this is like making some people happy that didn't get a chance to or didn't feel like dealing with going to Walmart to find these things, which some sad individuals like myself, I can't wait. There's only one more left and I don't have to go back. Man, I hate going to Walmart. Green Arrow, Vandal Savage, lots of cool, like, it's Batman Universe. It's like the whole DC Universe. Like, there's Gorilla City is a huge part of this. And wonderful, wonderful art.
Come on down to Gorilla City.
Yeah. I mean, he does
50% off Gorillas.
see my vest. New Humanoids is a thing, and the newest New Humanoids number 1 is called Omni, from Devin Grayson, who hasn't been doing a lot of comics lately, but is a very gifted writer. Omni is a super smart kind of Reed Richards kind of you know, pick your smart character.
Okay.
And that's the power. But then she chooses like a narrative and visual way to illustrate that intelligence in a very well put together book.
I haven't been paying any attention to any of these Humanoids books, but they all look great.
They do.
It reminds me of Valiant in the same way, where it's just like, here's a great book that I'm never going to pay attention to.
Humanoids IP Farm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it.
I mean, whatever. What isn't?
What isn't?
Ghosted in LA from Boom Box, number 2. I kind of wish I had seen number 1 because it looks interesting in like, what's up with this? It's like that Boom Box kind of thing where it's like a draw, like soap opera-y kind of thing.
Yeah, it's
but
fun.
This is about ghosts.
Yep.
And L.A. Collapser number two from Young Animal. I really enjoyed this. It's this DJ who gets a black hole implanted in his chest, and also things just get really weird. But in a fun way. It's just very Vertigo kind of feel, like Shade the Changing Man kind of stuff. From Mikey Way, Sean Simon, Ilias.
Is he really going by Mikey?
No, it's his brother.
Did they make him say?
No. Gerard Way's brother is Mikey Way.
Yeah.
Is he choosing to be called Mikey? I guess.
Do you think that Gerard said, "I'll get you a job, but you've got to go by Mikey instead of Mike"?
Man, that would be funny.
You fuck.
J.J. Abrams made his kid do that.
Yeah.
I'll get you a number one Spider-Man comic for your first fucking published book, but you have to be called Turdface.
Okay,
Turdface Abrams.
Fine, I'll be Turdface Abrams if you get me my own book.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Hey, guess what?
God, okay, Dad.
You know that book is going to sell jillions because it's the first Marvel die-cut cover since the 90s.
I don't care.
I don't know if that's true or not, but it is a die. They're doing a ridiculous like die cut cover, so it's going to sell a jillion copies just to collectors.
Really?
Yeah.
That is so fucking sad.
Oh, come on. I agree with you, and I feel that, but when I see one on the shelf, I go, oh, I want that. You know, I mean, the fact of the matter is, I enjoy them. Like when there was the Wolverine cover enhancement for like 150.
The Wolverine is cool, though. That's a cool cover.
Yeah. Honestly,
you know why? You know who is behind that cover? Larry Hama.
Yeah.
Right? Am I wrong?
No, that's the one.
I think it is.
So the top secret one with the slash through it.
Badass.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, that's a good cover. But like, you know, I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to shit on this die cut cover. I just think that the idea that there is some kind of phalanx of like collectors out there that are just like, ooh, I'm gonna get this because it has a hole in it, as opposed to like, I'm gonna get this because the story is really cool or the art's really awesome or like I love comics or something like that.
No,
you know?
No one loves comics anymore.
I love comics anymore. The last comic that I love, I actually do truly love. It is called
Black
Hammer,
so fun.
Justice League number two. I'm not sure why there's like 7 million covers of this series, but some of them are really, really amazing. The one I chose is A Robot by Jill Thompson.
Really? You didn't choose the Bizarro cover?
Did I not see? Maybe I didn't see. There was a Green Lantern cover that I liked. Is that the Bizarro cover?
No, there was a straight up Bizarro cover.
Oh.
You might have missed it.
I probably missed it.
It's good.
Nice. Yeah, no, I liked all of them, but this one is
Jill Thompson, though.
Mr. Walkie Talkie, the robot guy, and he's about to attack Batman, who is, I love the, Jill Thompson's great.
Yes.
But like this classic Batman, but he's like investigating something, and on the tabletop is like an old microscope and all this stuff, but he's got a magnifying glass in his hand, and I love the idea of like 1930s style Batman with his magnifying glass like investigating the crime and finding the clues, you know. So Black Hammer Justice League, just get it for the Bizarro Black Hammer. It has Bizarro Black Hammer in
it. Nice. Yes, it does.
I mean, you don't have to just get it for that. It's actually a really good story. But like if you're just like, I want to see something cool, just check it out. It's great.
Yep.
It's great.
The most important book of the week, I would say, as far as art and story goes, is Rad Wraith number one has come out finally.
Who wrote and drew that comic?
I wrote it, and it's drawn by Christian DeBarry.
You
and
wrote it.
Yes, and it has colors by Simon Gow and letters by Taylor Esposito, and the logo was done by Steve Levine of the Turtles, and it is a thing that I'm very proud of, and I'm very excited as to how it turned out, and it's finally available to people who did not back the Kickstarter. We're going to have it in store and on the website. It's not like I'm not sending it to Diamond or anything. This is still like totally independent, like ridiculously independent. You know, who knows? Maybe we'll do something else with it down the line. But as it stands, this is just us. So if you want it, you have to get it through our website or at our store. And it is, in a nutshell, we have the story of a kid skater, Grom, who gets murdered by some evil skaters. And he comes back from the dead for revenge. In a nutshell.
It's pretty great. You have to give me the secret origin of why his name is Grom.
That is a... That is easy. It is an old school skater insult for younger skaters.
Oh.
Grommet is a derogatory term for a younger skater.
Oh.
And Mongo is the bad guy, and that is a term for somebody who skates with their left foot forward or right foot forward.
Huh. Skater terminology.
Sorry.
I do like that he has that. No, it's cool. I like that he has that Funbox Monster board.
Yes, and also we've incorporated all sorts of things about the store into the story, where his sentient skateboard deck is the Funbox Monster from our logo and all these things. And it's part of the store and part of these things, but it's also a ridiculous story that is the kind of thing that I love. So it's the B-est of B movies. It's, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street and a bunch of other like garbagey, like wisecracking 80s slashers slammed together with skateboarding and 80s culture.
Yes.
It's stuff that I really like.
Also, just the word rad is great. Just seeing the word rad written so many times. It's written so many times.
Amazing. And we've got so many good pinups. Oh my God.
Yeah, the pinups are great.
The pinups are wonderful.
And every one of them has the word rad in it.
As it should.
It's great. It's rad.
Yeah. And so that is my book, and you should buy it.
Yes.
And if you're from Blumhouse, you should make it into this year's biggest blockbuster horror movie.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm from Blumhouse.
Thank you, Ryan Turek. I appreciate you putting Halloween on hold to make the Rad Wraith movie.
Nice.
Anyway, that's about it. Do you want to talk about some trades?
Oh, yeah. I did photograph some trades.
You were really stoked about that Justice League trade.
Oh, my God. I was really stoked about the Justice League trade. So let's go through, and then when I get to the Justice League trade, I'll talk about it.
Okay. I'm going to talk very quickly while you look for that stuff about my favorite thing that has come out this week as for trades. Not really a comic, but it is a horror property with Bernie Wrightson art. That would be Cycle of the Werewolf. They finally reissued a paperback version of Cycle of the Werewolf, and we have many copies of it.
Is it about a cycling werewolf?
It is. So this was a horrifying realization. Have you seen the movie?
No.
The movie was called Silver Bullet.
Oh,
and
maybe?
And so in the movie Silver Bullet, they do this thing where they give him this crazy motorcycle wheelchair. And the story where he doesn't get the motorcycle wheelchair was called Cycle of the Werewolf. And for a hot second, I was like, oh, fuck. Is it the cycle? Like, he's really like it's the motorized wheelchair. That's what the cycle in Cycle of the Werewolf is. No, it's not.
Okay.
He doesn't have that in the book.
I'm glad we cleared that up.
Oh, God, me too. It was really freaking me out for a minute.
So you've received recently a restock of Anthony Bourdain's Hungry Ghost.
Yes, that is finally back in stock.
Then this one is on the spine. This is called, come on, iPhone. Why you got to be that way?
Some crazy anime thing.
Imanon?
Sure.
Imanon.
Oh, God.
Imanon Memories.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Good luck.
It's from Dark Horse, it looks like.
Cool.
Wonder Woman, Golden Age, Volume 3. As Guardians of the Galaxy. We've always been As Guardians. That was my favorite toilet paper commercial of 2 years ago.
That was insane.
Yeah, I couldn't
absolute
believe. I
insanity.
Could not believe that there was a toilet paper commercial with a bear dressed as Thor saying he's always been an Asgardian. Okay, so As Guardians of the Galaxy, War of the Realms, then you have Guardians of the Galaxy, The Final Gauntlet, then Batman, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, then Syllabus.
Yes,
Lyndon
finally,
Barry.
The 2 is finally out in paperback form.
Oh, that just came out in paperback form.
Yes, I believe so. I think it's only been a hardcover up until now.
Nice. Syllabus by Linda Barry.
Yes. That's new, but we just got it back in.
Just got it back in. Borgias by Jodorowsky and Manara.
Yes, the story of Lucretia Borgia by Manara and Jodorowsky.
Damn. I think that D&D monster manual you had last week.
Probably. We've gotten many monster manuals
in. Scream magazine, is that new?
Yes.
Scream magazine featuring Drag Me to Hell and Wolfen.
Ooh, holy shit, Wolfen. What a great movie.
Yeah, that is a great movie. Also Bubba Hotep. Which I still have never seen.
I almost wrote a Bubba Hotep musical on spec.
Nice.
I tried to get Boo to get together with me to write a Bubba Hotep musical on spec because we had the ear of the copyright holder and we could have gotten it to him pretty easily. And we just could not get it together to get it down, but we have some pretty fun ideas.
Oh man, sounds like a B-side of Bees.
It should be, yeah.
Yeah. War of Realms, is that a trade paperback of the miniseries? War of the Realms?
Probably, I guess. Looks I don't like know.
A War of the Realms.
Sure. We also got in, speaking of reorder things, we finally have the Bone phone books back in, the gigantic omnibuses of all the Bone comics.
Bone comics.
We haven't had those for a while for some insane reason. So So if you want the black and white phone books, the like $45 ones, grab it. It's like the greatest compilation of comics in the history of comic books.
It's a one for the record books.
It really is.
We have a new Adventure Time something. I can't read it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's another Adventure Time, like, I think it's a Fiona and Cake.
Yes, Fiona and Cake. That's what it says.
Some variety of original graphic novel.
Nice.
Out this week.
New issue of
Hype. Yeah, we just keep selling things on the website, and it keeps clicking on my phone.
Hey, the sales keep pouring in. We haven't even published this thing yet, and people are buying stuff we're talking about. High Fructose Magazine. Looks...
Yep.
Awesome.
And has a Jim Woodring thing in it.
It has a full like mini comic from Jim Woodring. It's cool. I didn't buy it, but I will. Livewire.
Yes, Livewire. This has been Valiant's most talked about new book. This has been like... This is one that people are absolutely stoked about. And
cool cover.
And I am really glad to have it because I did not read the first two issues. Mm. And then I picked up the third one and I went, hey, this looks really cool. I need to get back to the first part. So
nice.
So there it is. And I am going to read it now.
Yeah, it's called Fugitive. And then Amazing Spider-Man Hunted and X-Men Epic Collection. I can't something rebirth, but it's the one where they all wear the old style costumes, but all the X-Men are dead.
What?
Okay, it's that this one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's like all the X-Men are dead, so then it's like Strong Guy and Forge.
Yeah,
and like,
that's right. I remember that.
The Witch Lady and Banshee and anyway, whatever. It's that one.
Yeah.
So then there's this Justice League trade, which honestly, like, this is worth its weight in gold as far as I'm concerned. It's called Justice League of America, The Last Survivors of Earth! ! The packaging is top notch. Like the trade dress is like totally like Silver Age, like,
oh, it's
like
great.
Just past Silver Age. Like everything is like a huge pandemic and everything is just like, oh my God. And it's a sweet run of just like right after Justice League stopped being like a for kids book, and kind of like, even though it was still kind of for kids, like it was like a little bit smarter and Denny O'Neill was writing it and a couple other guys. It's just a really sweet run of Justice League comics from around like the 70 issue 70 and forward, featuring, one of my favorites, The Private War of Johnny Dune, the Vietnam, consciousness, issue. And then there's also a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Ultimate Collection Volume 2.
Nice. Volume 2.
And then there's something that's red that I can't tell what it says. I'm sorry. Shit. I should actually stop taking
I like that
panoramic. Red one. The one with the red spine.
Enjoy the red book.
Oh, and there's Cycle of the Werewolf.
There it is. Oh, the one with the red spine is just, we got more copies of Creepshow.
Oh, nice.
Which is, you know, in honor of the fact that pretty soon, I think like another week or so, we're going to have the Creepshow TV series starting on Shudder, which I'm super stoked about.
Wait, what's the... I don't know what this is.
So Creepshow, like the
I mean,
old
I know
Creepshow.
What Creepshow
yeah,
is.
Yeah. Shudder took up
what's
the
Shudder?
License.
That's what I know.
Shudder is a subscription horror service.
Oh.
And they're making a lot of original content. And one of the things they're doing is this Creepshow series, and it has like Joe Hill and I think Stephen King and like a handful
like writing
of,
for it.
Yeah, like cool. A handful of amazing people doing episodes.
Huh.
Like John Carpenter and somebody
Whoa.
Else. Like ridiculous.
Nice.
I'm unbelievably stoked about this thing.
Okay, yeah, that's cool.
It's going to be great, and it looks like it's all practical effects, like no computer stuff. They're throwing everything back to 80s.
Nice.
I saw that Atlas Effects did stuff for it, and they're like one of the most amazing animatronics houses in the world. They did. If you watch The Tick, which is another amazing show that didn't really get the footing it deserved.
The original tick or
the new one?
The newer one.
The newest one. Oh. They did the Lobstercules, the gigantic lobster person who had amazing animatronics. They do ridiculously good work.
That's cool. So that's something to look forward to. And you can get the Creepshow comic book. And then also, last but not least, is a Harrow County Volume 1 omnibus from Cullen Bunn and Tyler Crook, which is the best witch comic I've ever seen.
Yeah.
All that stuff is out.
I think I might actually grab that at some point, the gigantic.
Yeah,
oversized.
I think it would be really cool. I actually really have a hard time, I think I've said this before, with like omnibuses. I think they're just really hard to read physically.
I love them.
It's cool to have them all in one place, but I want some kind of modular.
Yeah, I understand.
Where it's like multiple trades that you can like, maybe they have like little hooks on them that you can like hook into each other so that like you can make it into one thing that you can put on the shelf, but then like you can take it apart modularly like a Lego set and enjoy
right.
it piece by piece.
Like the way they did the trade paperbacks for Lock and Key. And then they put them into a big slipcase.
Yeah, or like...
they sold a slipcase at the end of the series that you could put all of your trades into.
That's cool.
It was a cool idea.
Zenith, of a lesser extent, but the design of it, when they did the Zenith card covers, if you display them side by side, you get the Z across the spine of all of them. Like, I mean, they don't link together physically, but like, there's no slipcase. But it's a nice look, and it's good to have that kind of stuff on your shelf. And it's also nice to have like every... Zenith.
Yeah. For stuff that's like unbelievably complicated, like the two that I'm literally looking at on my shelf right now are Watchmen and Final Crisis, which that is how I needed to read both of those things.
Yeah.
Reading Final Crisis was so difficult because it's so complicated and it throws to so many stupid old stories that no one has read.
Yeah.
Just having it in a gigantic format where you can actually see everything that's going on made it so much easier for me to understand it. And I love the story. It's just, I keep missing things every time I read it.
Yeah.
Same thing with Watchmen. It's just a very complex story. And having it in an oversized format lets you see everything that's going on.
So I think ultimately this is where we're apples to oranges, because those omnibuses are fine to me because they are 12 issues.
Yeah.
Or 7 issues.
Right, exactly.
The omnibuses that I have a hard time with are the ones that are like 30 issues or like
you know, right under that I have the Geoff Johns Green Lantern, two omnibuses.
Exactly.
That are,
like that's like too much for
two LA phone
book.
Books full of
Or like
comics.
When they did, I have the one that I've gotten every, almost at a certain point I finally had to stop, but like almost every iteration of was when they did New Frontier.
Yep.
Like I had the trades and then they did the omnibus and I got the omnibus and then they did the Absolute Edition, like all the different, like, and I had.
That's too many.
And, you know.
Don't worry, there's a black label version coming out soon.
Oh, yeah, and you know what? Honestly, that isn't even really what I'm thinking of, too, because even the Absolute Edition is huge, but it's still, that's only 4 issues. It's just all the, I don't know what I'm talking about. I think I'm just tired or something.
God, it's so true. Well, we have been here for a long time, so let's wrap it up.
Yeah.
All right, thank you guys so much. Have a good night. Visit us at coastcitycomics.com and at Actually Comics on the Instagram. At Coast City Comics on the Instagram and at Funbox Monster.
Yes.
We're going to be doing another Funbox Monster podcast this week, and that is going to be the movie Silver Bullet, as a matter of fact.
What?
So it ties all into the fact that we got Cyclo the Werewolf and everything else. Look at me. I'm just wrapping it all up with a big bow.
Walking Ouroboros. You know, I'm going to bring it one last thing, though. You forgot to tell him how to subscribe to the newsletter.
Oh, yes. I haven't really figured that out.
Okay.
I'm going to post something on our Instagram that has a link to it, so you can get to the All right. Thank you guys. Have a good night.
sugar.